Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, and I want to continue our study on missions and on the Great Commission and fulfilling that. And I really, not just this week, but in recent days and coming into this year, I've really been praying for the Lord to give me a fresh burden for world missions. And in doing that, that the Lord would help me to give you a fresh burden for world missions. And I'll say it again tonight, and I'll say it through this whole series. I'm really praying that God would help us do more this year in world missions than we've ever done. And you say, preacher, do you really think that that's feasible? I know it is. It's not that I think it. I know that we can if we will allow God to do that. Amen. And I'm headed to giving to missions. The way I really believe that God lined out to give to world missions is through what's called faith. Faith Promise Missions Giving. And I'm going to be preaching two or three messages on that. But before we get to giving to missions, we need to understand what is missions. Amen. And that's the reason we've been dealing with the Great Commission and we've been dealing with missions. Amen. So let's look at a few things tonight. If you will and you're able to, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, and I want to look at verse number 6. The Bible said this, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." In other words, if you want to reap a lot, you got to sow a lot. If you don't want to reap much, you don't sow much. If you want more than two tomato sandwiches, you got to plant more than one mater plant. Somebody give me a witness right there. If you want to can some maters for the winter, what do? You plant numerous mater plants. To you, that's not from around here, that is tomatoes, okay? But you got to plant more than one mater plant. Are you with me? The same thing goes with souls tonight. If we want to reap in abundance, we've got to sow in abundance. We sowed yesterday, and God allowed us to reap today. Now go with me to Galatians, the book of Galatians. If you'll flip over from 2 Corinthians, you'll find the book of Galatians next. And I want to look in chapter number 6, Galatians chapter number 6. And note with me what the Bible says, Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 7. The Bible said this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." That's a promise from God right there. We shall reap if we faint not. So it's up to us also to not grow weary in well-doing, but to continue sowing, knowing that God will give the increase and that God will give the harvest. Here's what I want to talk to you about for just a little while tonight. What missions will do for the local church. What missions will do for the local church. Father, I love you tonight. God, you know the very desire of my heart when it comes to missions in our church tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that the past few weeks as we've began preaching on it and again tonight, God, that it's just not words, but God, that we allow it to sink into our hearts. And God, I pray that you help me to relay your word in the right way, in the right context. And God, may we get more of a burden and more of a desire to reach the world with the gospel than we ever have before. I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight. Father, help us as we're reaching the world to not forget about our own community and to reach it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Let me read you some things, and then we'll get into our study on this. One said this, "Many church members today have the wrong concept of missionaries. They see missionaries as strangers who come to their church to get their money and then go their way and do their own thing. They see missionaries as people who are using their church. The exact opposite is really true, though. It is not the missionary using the church, but rather the church using the missionary. We should see the missionary as a vehicle by which the local church transports its ministry to another part of the world. The Lord did not give the responsibility of carrying out the Great Commission to the missionaries, but to the local church. Then he gave the missionaries, the local church, as the vehicle to transport their ministry around the world. So what is the missionary? The missionary is the vehicle that takes the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world as a leg or a ministry of the local church. That's what the missionary is tonight. Many people preach or teach that the first part of Galatians chapter 6, verse number 8, and he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And I say this to you, there's a lot of preaching in that verse tonight. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If all you ever do is run for fleshly desires of this world, that is what you will reap, is corruption. But there is another part to that verse. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody much preach on the second half of that verse. What does the second half of the verse say? It says this. He said, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But, note what he says, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You see, there is another part to that verse. There is another side to that verse. What is he saying? He's saying this, sow to the flesh, reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit, reap life everlasting. Now, let me clarify something real quickly on that. That is not saying that we sow so we gain everlasting life. That is not a works salvation. Somebody give me a witness right there. That is not what that is. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. Can I get an amen right there? I work because I am. So what is he saying in that verse? What does he mean when he says this? But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Here is simply what he is saying in that verse, that when we sow the Spirit, then the harvest of sowing that is souls being saved. That is the harvest of sowing the Scripture tonight. You know, the reason that we emphasize giving out a gospel tract, it's not because there's a picture of the church on it. It's not because our service times are on it. It's not because the links to our social media is on it. It's for one reason. In that gospel tract has the gospel. That's the reason it's called a gospel tract. It has the Scripture in them. And what did we learn this morning? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So what he is saying in that verse is this, that if we'll sow the Spirit, in other words, if we'll sow the Scriptures, if we'll sow the things of God, then we have a promise from God that we will reap souls being saved. Well, I don't guess nobody else got that. We will reap souls being saved. If you want a lot of souls saved, you know what you got to do? You got to sow a lot of seed. We just read it back in the book of 2 Corinthians. It all is based off of what we do. Now, you say, preacher, what can missions do for the local church? Only thing that missions does is drags money out of our treasure. You bring those missionaries in, we take them home for support. We sent over $100,000 across the world last year just to missions. We could have put that on our building and had more paid off, and we would have been going right against what God says do, because God said go to all the world and preach the gospel. So what can missions do for the local church? I don't know about you, but I'm interested in the local church. I am a local church man from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I think every ministry, no matter what it is, should run through the local church. Amen. So let me show you two or three things that missions will do for the local church. Number one, missions will build the faith of a local church. It will build the faith of a local church. You may say, how will missions build the faith of the local church? Well, can I say this to you tonight? By the experiences that the missionary shares. Have you ever been sitting in a service and whenever the missionary came by, he began talking about, for instance, a piece of property. And he said, you know, man, that piece of property was expensive, but we began to pray and ask God, God, would you do this for us? God, would you help us raise the money in this? And boy, we saw God do that. God raised the money. We now have a church on that property and a Bible college on that property and a youth camp on that property. And boy, God's been good. Whenever I hear that from the missionary, you know what it does in my mind? My mind immediately goes back to the scriptures where God said this, that he's no respecter of person. So in other words, what God will do for one, God will do for all. And if God done it for them, God can do it for me. It increases and builds the faith of the local church. It increases that. It causes me to have more faith when I hear their stories. So number one, what will it do? Missions will build the faith of the local church. Number two, watch this. Missions will build the fire in the local church. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We're wanting to see souls saved, so we support the missionary. What does it do for us? It builds our faith. But number two, missions builds the fire in the local church. It builds the fire. When you love missions, you love what God loves. When you think missions, you think what God thinks. When you're involved in missions, you're involved in the very heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, do you really believe that, preacher? Absolutely, I believe that. Absolutely. You say, how do you get that? Because the last thing he said to do was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. When you think missions, when you preach missions, when you promote missions, when you pray for missions, you know what you're doing? You are getting the ear of God and the attention of God because he's interested in missions. Why is he interested in missions? Because it's souls. Brother Stan heard the first message. Because it's souls. That's the reason he's interested in it. You say, well, preacher, how in the world does missions build the fire in the local church? Well, think about this. Because we become conscious of souls that are lost. We become conscious of souls that are lost. A lot of you knows my love for New England. And I know it's weird that I like New England, but I do. I love it up there. And hopefully this fall, my wife and I and probably Olivia and Victoria is going back up there to visit a couple of our missionaries and do a little road trip through there. And I was thinking about this today. I was actually in the office and I was studying, as I was in there studying, I actually began looking at some of those areas again. There's a little place in between Salem, Massachusetts, and Gloucester, and it's a little place called Manchester by the Sea. From everything that I can find out, I know for sure the last time I was there, that there's no solid, fundamental, sound doctrine church in that city. And there's a little over 5,500 people in that little city. You say, well, preacher, that's not much, but listen to what I'm fixing to say. That's souls. That's souls. Are you hearing the preacher tonight? Why does missions build a fire in the local church? It's because we become conscious of souls that are lost, man. Again, missions. I hope you'll get this statement. Missions can all be wrapped up in one word. Souls. Why does it build the fire? Because it reminds us of souls that are lost. Why does it build the fire? Because we become conscious of souls that are lost. But because we become conscious of a Savior that loves them. We become conscious of a Savior. You know what missions does? You know what every missionary will say? We're going to take the gospel to them. You know what they're doing? They're saying this. I want to remind you that there's a Savior that loves them. It don't matter who they are. It don't matter what part of the world they're in. Somebody give me a witness. You remember the little song that we sang when we was little children? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. Hey, it, the reason it builds a fire, it's because we become conscious of a Savior that loves them. Can I just say this to you tonight? If you was that person living there, you would want to know the Savior loved you. We become conscious of souls that are lost. We become conscious of a Savior that loves them. But can I say this? We become conscious of the Spirit that leads. The Spirit that leads. Last Sunday night, Brother Anthony was up talking about going to Peru. And while he was talking about going to Peru, he began to talk about the way the Lord led them there. The way on that trip, and his wife after service, we began to talk and she gave me her testimony. And I encourage you, when we have missionaries, you get to hear the man or the preacher, you get to hear his testimony. I encourage you to find his wife and say, hey, why don't you give me your testimony about going to missions? I love to hear that because you never hear from them. She began telling about how God began to work in her heart. And you say, well, preacher, how does that build a fire in the church? Because when I began to hear about how God worked in their heart and what God's doing for them, it reminds me that God can work in my heart and that God can work in your heart and that God can call you and that God can use you. It builds a fire in the church. As we become conscious of the souls that are lost, the Savior that loves, and the Spirit that leads, we will once again feel the fire rekindling of a burden for the lost in our own community. What will missions do for the local church? Here's what it'll do. Missions will build the faith of the local church. Missions will build the fire in the local church. Number three, missions will build the field of the local church. I really preach to get right here for just a few minutes. It will build the field of the local church. Yesterday we had a pretty good crowd on visitation and had a good time visiting, had a good time knocking on doors. And I always enjoy visitation. I enjoy door-to-door visitation. And you want to see the church grow, that's the way you see it grow. You want to see your Sunday school class grow, go knock on doors. Somebody give me a witness, right? I promise you, that's where it's at. And I began to think about this. Last night, I was riding a stationary bike and my mind was turning and I began to think. Usually I try to clear my mind when I do that, but last night I just couldn't get away from this thought. You know, we went as much as we could go yesterday. For the people that we had, we could have knocked on more doors. We could have stayed out to midnight last night. But we try to be respectful whenever we go on visitation. We try to give everybody enough doors to knock on for about an hour to an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And by lunchtime, they're done and they're on their way back home. I try to be respectful of people's time. So we went and we hit the area that we could. If everybody in the church had came, we would have went. We would have hit an area and we would have been done. But you know what a missionary does? He builds the field of the local church. Today in Africa, we had 3 or 4 different missionaries that preached. They're all in bed now. A matter of fact, fixing to wake up tomorrow already. But you know what we had? We had missionaries. Amazing Grace Baptist Church had a representative in Africa preaching today. Now, that may not do nothing for you, but boy, it excites me. You know what? Just outside of Boston and Lawson today, Brother Nick stood up and preached in English and then preached in Spanish. You hear me tell you what that was? That was a leg of Amazing Grace Baptist Church. You know what happened today in Utah? Brother Kirkman stood up and preached the gospel in the Mormon country. You know what that was? It was a leg of Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Oh, yes. What does missions do for the local church? Here's what it does. It allows us to sow the seed in a field that we would never be able to. I thought about this in Egypt today. In Egypt today, go visit the mission board if you want to know their name. But in Egypt today, you know what we had? We had a missionary that mounted the pulpit and preached the gospel. Some of y'all ready to go eat, and I feel like preaching an hour. Stood up and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in Egypt today. You know what that was? It was a leg of the ministries of Amazing Grace Baptist Church. If you want to reap a lot, you got to sow a lot. And you know what the missionary does for the local church? He expands the field of the local church. No, I couldn't be in Africa today, but I could give to get somebody to Africa. I couldn't be in New England today, but I could give to get somebody to New England. I couldn't be in Alaska today, but I could give to get somebody there. What does missions do for the church, man? It builds the field for the church. We can't go but so far. But God designed a way. Gee, what a coincidence, whatever you want to think. God designed a way. We see it all in the book of Acts for the local church to send people out. Amen. To send people out. And through that, I mean, who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought that we'd have a representative in a foreign country? You see, when people walk into Amazing Grace, they don't see everything. Yes, we had 2 saved this morning at our church, but I guarantee you when we look at the reports of all of the 51 missionaries that we support, man, they was more saved. What is it? It's missions. It's missions. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Number 4, what does it do? Missions builds the faith of the local church. Missions will build the fire in the local church. Missions will build the field of the local church. But number 4, and you're going to look at me sideways when I say this. Missions will build the finances in the local church. Missions will build the finances in the local church. You've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. God will never give to the church what God will give through the church. God will never give to you what God will give through you. Amen. I'm going to go a whole lot more in depth than that, possibly starting next Sunday night. It's what we give to get the gospel across. You say, preacher, do you really think that missions builds the finances of the local church? We're not going to do this, what I'm fixing to say. Let me back up and rephrase that. We're not going to do it as long as I'm the pastor. I can promise you that. We're not going to stop supporting every missionary. But I guarantee you, if we cut off our missions program, we quit supporting every missionary and dropped every one of them, I guarantee you our finances would go down. The church may still sustain, but it wouldn't thrive. I can promise you that. Let me tell you what the difference in a lot of good churches and great churches are. Missions. Giving to world missions. Giving to world missions. The fact has been proven many times down through the centuries of the history of the church. It is totally impossible for a church or an individual to outgive God. God made a promise to this effect. Listen to what he said. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen to what he said in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want to read you something. Give me just a minute. I want to read you something in Philippians 4. We always read that verse. And we always say, man, God will supply our needs. Let me read you something. I'm going to pick up reading verse number 10. Paul says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I am learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, but I have all that abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Then he says, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. You know what the context of that verse is? The context of that verse was a missionary on the field. That's what Paul was. Matter of fact, he's writing from a prison ministry in Philippians. He's locked up in jail. And the context is this: because you gave to the missionary. I just read it to you. Because you gave, God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Here's what he said. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. He says, give, and it'll be given back to you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You say, preacher, why do you give to missions to get? I lost 99% of the church. I give to get. To give to get. To give to get. God will never give to you what God will give through you. Paul said, hey, look, man, you gave to me, and God's going to meet all your need. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. But now watch this. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give under your bosom. For with the same measure that we meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. What's he saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, if you'll give, I'll give it back to you. I thought about this. I'm right now done. I got one little illustration I'm going to give you, and after this one, and I'm going to be done. I thought about this. We got two church vans. They got a few miles on them, but they're still good vans. I'd drive one anywhere. And I thought about this the other day, the battery was dead on one. I went out there to get in it, and I think the kids was going to take it somewhere or something, but the battery was dead. I didn't know it was, so I got in it and started, and it wouldn't start. So I got jumper cables, jumped it off, run to Johnny Johnson's and pulled in. I said, hey, Ronald, man, the kids are fixing to go somewhere. I think his battery's dead. It wouldn't start. Can you check it real quick? He said, yeah. He said, I'll be glad to. He walked out there. He looked at it, and he said, there ain't no need to check it. He said, you know what the date is on that battery? I said, no, I didn't look at that, man. That's the reason I brought it to you. He said, 2016. I said, 2016. He said, yeah. I said, you act like that's a big deal. He said, the next one won't last that long. You know what I was thinking in the backside of my mind? You just don't know my God. You just don't know my God. You see, we think when God says that, that it's going to be some great big $250,000 check comes into the church. Praise God if it does. But you know what that was? That was God. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, praise God. We should have done, put two or three batteries in it, Brother Blake. It was God. Missions builds the finances of the church. I thought about this week. To my remembrance, one of those vans we've had since I came in 06, so it's 07, 08. It was an 06 when it's an 06, but we got it around 07 or 08, right in there. And it's 2025, okay? And from the best of my knowledge, the set of tires that's on it right now is the only set of tires we've ever put on it. You saw, I bet them things dry rotted. There ain't no way I'd drive that. Go look at them. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying if you'll give to missions, if the church will fulfill the Great Commission, let me tell you what God will do. God, amen, God will meet the needs of the local church. I prayed and said, God, when we're building the new building, I sure would love to give at least $100,000 to world missions during that time. And we did while we was building this building. You say, well, preacher, that was a waste. I look back through some of the stuff, and matter of fact, the appraisal on all of our property is about $2.5 million now. The appraisal on this building, once it was done, was $1.2 million. And if you'll sit down and put all the paperwork together, we built this building, just this building. I know that we spent more because we done a bunch of paving, we done a bunch of remodels, but just on this building, around $475,000. Oh, well, boy, I'm glad some people done some work. No, let me tell you what that was. There was God going, you know what? If you're going to get the gospel across the world, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take care of the local church, man. It's what it is. It's what it'll do. Miss Tanya's coming to the piano. in the land of Israel. I've never been there. Been asked to go several times, and I guess I'll see it when Jesus comes back. I have no desire to go to Israel. But in the land of Israel, there are two bodies of water on the Jordan River. The first one is the Sea of Galilee, and the other is the Dead Sea. As you travel alongside the Jordanian Valley, north from the city of Jericho, you will see some of the best fruits and vegetables in the world growing there. Everything is lively, green, and very productive. If you travel south from the city of Jericho, everything becomes barren and desert. There you find what is known as the Dead Sea. It is interesting to know that everything in the Dead Sea comes from the Sea of Galilee. Yet in Galilee, everything is alive and vibrant, while nothing is alive in the Dead Sea. The difference is the Sea of Galilee gives away everything it gets, and God is constantly replacing what it gives away with fresh supplies. The Dead Sea, however, keeps everything that it gets, and therefore it dies there. It is a great lesson for us to learn, both as Christians and as a church, that which we give away, God replaces. But that which we keep for ourselves dies. When an individual or a church learns to give scripturally, they will learn that God will honor their faith and their feelings towards others and will give more back to them than they gave away. God will give to us, or God will give to us, what we give away. But He'll never give us what we'll just keep. I remember years ago at Turner's Creek, there was a note put in the offering plate one day, and here's what it said. At Turner's Creek, in the prime of Turner's Creek when I was growing up, we supported around 270, 275 missionaries. Every year, around $550,000 just through the missions program there. It's unreal what God was doing. And can I just say this? God can do here what He done there. You say, well, I don't believe that. That's the reason He's not. Everybody okay? We'll go home in a minute. I'm about done. Because people believed God. They got a hold of it. And there was a note put in it by a little lady that had nothing. And here's what it said. What you give away, you'll keep. And what you keep, you'll lose. What you give away, you'll keep. And what you keep, you'll lose. You know what missions does for the church? It builds the finances up. You know what missions will do for you? God will never give to you what He'll give through you. He said, preacher, I want to reap. I'm interested in that. I'm interested in reaping. You know what you got to do? You got to sow. You got to sow. If you don't sow, you don't reap. You don't reap. So, preacher, I just don't know. It's kind of been dead in my class. Are you sowing anything much? I'm just not talking about standing up there on Sunday morning teaching a little lesson. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again bringing the sheaves with him. May God help us as the local church to get a hold of what missions is. And then as we move forward, begin giving to world missions like we've never gave before. Father.